learn from your truth. We ask for concentration and that you would enlighten your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I was going to read this to you. With all the email humor going around, someone sent this to me, and I thought I'd share it with you. It's only in America. I don't know if any of you have seen this. For those of you who have, well, I'll go ahead and... Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Yeah. Only in America are there handicapped parking places in front of a skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can get cigarettes at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave both doors open and then chain the pins to the counters.
Yeah.
Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put useless junk in our garage. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls and then have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. That one's always puzzled me. Only in America do we use the word politics to describe the process so well. Poli in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. How about this one? Only in America do we have drive-up ATM machines in Braille. Yeah. All right, here's the finale here. Only in America can a homeless combat veteran live in a cardboard box while a draft dodger lives in the White House.
Whoa.
Interesting, huh? Well, I want to continue talking tonight a little bit about something we've been looking at for the past few weeks, which is sanctification, which is the idea of the process that we go through to set ourselves apart for God's use. We've looked at, I talked a couple weeks ago about the process of how it begins with learning. You know, we come together, and in order for us to know what to do, we've really got to have some instructions. And so learning is a big part of that. Learning involves us being students, coming to Bible class, trying to learn just exactly what it is that God wants us to do. So learning is a big part of it. Living is the next part of it, which is where we actually take steps to actually do what God would, what He's instructed us to do. And then laundering, which is kind of the catch-all, as we're moving forward in the living process, when we stumble, the laundering process is where we can confess our sins and be cleansed. Well, the result of that is that we're a vessel for honor, that we're actually set apart for God's use. I want to talk tonight a little bit more about the living part of it. Living is just, it's obeying what God would have us to do. Kurt spent some time this past Sunday looking at 1 Thessalonians about just several different commands that God has for us, different things that He's instructed for us. God has many instructions for us. These instructions take, different forms. Some of these instructions are commands where God actually tells us, to do something like, for example, be patient with all men, be filled with the Spirit. These are instructions that God gives us in the form of commands. Other things that we see are prohibitions that God has with regard to certain things that He wants us to stay away from. Don't repay evil for evil is an example that Kurt shared with us. Another prohibition we see is to abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Prohibitions such as, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not sin. And then there's other instructions that God would give us, such as promises. For example, cast your burden upon the Lord. This is where these are promises, instructions. These are part of the process that, you know, as we live out sanctification, there's different areas that we will have to apply. Well, how do these different promises or commands, how do they become locked into us? I mean, how do we lock them in so they actually become a part of us? Well, the answer is tests. You know, we all go through tests, and the purpose of these tests is to make these a real part of our life. So, like, if you would, please, to turn to James chapter 1. A little background on James. For those of you who don't know, James was our Lord's brother, one of, I believe, four brothers. Jesus had a large family. I think he had at least two sisters, because the scripture reveals that he had sisters, so that means he had at least two. James probably didn't believe that his brother was God until after his death. So, starting in verse 2 here, well, we'll start with verse 1. James, a bondservant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Testing. I mean, it's a real interesting part of our lives. It's really, you know, it's what locks it in for us. You know, a while back, I was taking some lessons to learn how to fly. You know, for those of you who have ever done any flying, you know, Les can appreciate this. They give you manuals, you know, that you've got to memorize. And basically, the manuals instruct you how to fly. They tell you how to sit, you know, how to hold the rudder, what to do, you know, when you see the ground on the opposite side of the plane, you know, just some real fundamental instructions. They give you all of these instructions, and you know, a big part of your training is spent in the books. You know, I mean, it's just volumes of material, and you're tested on the book material in two different ways. I mean, you're tested in a classroom situation where you have to take a written test. But really, that's not what makes you a pilot. What makes you a pilot is getting in an airplane and doing the tests. One of the, there's many things that can happen, you know, when you're in an airplane. And I think, I don't know if it's just that I've noticed it more, but in the last couple of years, there seems to be a lot of incidents with small planes, you know, crashing on a golf course. You know, it's really, you know, a lot of things have happened. Well, there's a lot of things that you can do while you're in a plane. There's a lot of things, you know, you get certain air movements. Well, one of the things that they try and train you for is a situation called a stall. Okay, and you can read about it in a book, but you know, it's not the same. It's like reading about pregnancy and thinking that you understand the pain, but you really don't feel it till you've gone there, you know? A stall is a situation in a plane where, you know, you're cruising along, and there's different ways that you can stall, but basically what happens is you're moving forward and you've got lift, so you're staying up. All of a sudden you have no lift, and the plane drops like that. It just drops suddenly. And there's certain procedures that you have to do to get out of this. When you read this in a book, okay, and you take the test, yeah, this is what you do. But when you're sitting there in the seat, and all of a sudden, you know, you go into a stall, and your stomach climbs up to the back of your throat, and, you know, your eyes are just whipping back. And, it's different. You know, it is different. It's no different in the Christian life. Okay? You ever had your stomach climb up into your throat? Your eyes going back? You know, when you can pull out of a stall, see, if you can't make it through stall training, okay, you're not a pilot, okay? You don't make it any further, okay? Testing in the Christian life, I mean, there are so many different analogies to it, but we are tested in the Christian life on what we've learned. And our advancement to the next level is dependent on our success or failure in the previous test. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Well, it's interesting that James would picture, you know, it to be joy when you're going through some of these difficult times that we go through. But he says it right here, consider it all joy. We're going to come back to this later. But he says, when you encounter various trials, so we're going to have trials and various, we're going to have all sorts of different types of trials, different types of tests in our lives. When will we be tested? I mean, you're going to be tested anytime. I mean, you could have been tested on the way here. You could be being tested right now. And I don't want to spend a lot of time distinguishing between qualifying the types of tests, whether they're from God or from man. What I want you to look at tonight is the idea of tests being your passing or failing resulting in your advancement in the Christian life. That's the important thing. I mean, that's what it is for all of us. Because as we move forward in sanctification and God's plan for our life, we have to realize that we're going to be tested. And so we have to look at these as opportunities for advance. So when will we be tested? Well, anytime. Tonight, tomorrow. I mean, and with that, even with the implication of that in the verse, what that implies is that, you know, we've already been tested. You know, all of us have already gone through tests today, you know, yesterday. So this is a very common part of the Christian life. Well, where are we going to be tested? Where do we get these tests? Does God have this little place that he has set aside for us? And Al, I'd like you to go take your test now. Could you come here, please? Yeah. It doesn't work that way. You know, I wish that I knew where my tests were going to be because I'd be a little bit more prepared. But I guess in reality I do. You know, they're everywhere. Where are we going to be tested? I mean, with an audience as diverse as this, you know, if I were to get an idea where each of you are going to find your tests, it's really going to be different. Where are we going to be tested? Well, how about testing at school? Are we, I guess in the purest sense of the word, we're tested at school. You know, you're going to take classes. That's really not what we're talking about. We're talking about testing for spiritual advance, testing in the Christian life. Do students find tests in school? Well, why certainly. You know, any time that we have interaction with other people, I mean, there's going to be tests. And it might not even be with other people. It could just be with ourselves. But where else are we tested? What at work? You guys having a hard time there. Is work a place where we could be tested? I mean, certainly. How about this guy here on the car? Be tested on the road? Yeah. How about at home? Can you be tested at home? We're going to find that we're going to have tests wherever we are. You know? You can't go anyplace and hide from tests. It's just not possible. We're going to have tests wherever we are. You ever had an unreasonable teacher? I mean, I remember a time when I was taking a math class in college, and you know, I got a real good grade on the test, you know, and I really studied hard for this test. And the teacher took off a point because I marked the wrong seat, you know, and I don't know, I was supposed to put the right seat, but I failed that test. I'll be honest with you, I didn't do real good at it. Now, what about an unreasonable boss? You know, you ever had a boss that maybe promised you something and it didn't come through, or maybe a boss whose expectations of you were, you know, well higher than you were able to perform? You know, we're going to have tests wherever we go. How about at home? Probably mom and dad. Maybe someone borrowed something from you and didn't return it. Maybe they returned it, but maybe those pants were torn, you know. I know with our girls, there always seem to be squabbles about, you know, someone borrowing someone's shirt or jeans, or, you know, how about at a restaurant? You go out. Maybe the server doesn't give you the best service, you know. I mean, how we react to that, you know, we're tested. We're put on the spot wherever we go. I was driving on Bell Road last week, and there was this couple in front of me in the car going 13 miles under the posted speed limit, okay, with their heads turned out the right of the car and both of them pointing. You know, this is an area that I still have problems with. You know, we're going to find, we have tests wherever we go. We play sports, we're out on the field, we're going to be tested. I mean, God's going to test us on the knowledge that He's given us about life. And that's really what the Bible reveals to us, is how we should live our lives. God's going to give us instructions, okay? He's going to test us on it. You can be guaranteed. How are we going to be tested? You know? We know we're going to be tested where we are, but what are these tests? How are we going to be tested? Sunday morning, Kurt went over a list in 1 Thessalonians 5 of some commands that God has given us. God expects us to be at peace with others. For those of you who are here, I mean, that information has been delivered to you. You can be guaranteed you're going to be tested on that. God's given us instructions to admonish the unruly, to encourage people, forbearance, patience. You know, when you're driving down the road and they're looking over to the left, and you know, it's a test of my patience. You know, I shouldn't get upset about it, but I do. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, but we all have our own areas that we find ourselves tested in. Well, what about by whom are we tested? Who tests us? Where did the test come from? I know that there's nothing more that I'd like to think that every test that I encounter in my life is coming from God, but unfortunately I know most of them are, you know, at this point, are from me. You know, that's just, and I'd like to think that Satan's really working out there at me, and you know, he's standing behind every corner, but you know, I think he's still looking at me saying, no, we can just leave him be. He's doing okay by himself. Okay? That's how tests are. Who's going to test us? Well, the scripture does reveal that tests come from four areas. Okay? We find that tests do come from God. But in most cases, These are reserved for individuals who have learned how to deal with themselves first, learned how to deal with others around them. Abraham is an example. Okay, God instructed Abraham to sacrifice his son, take him to an altar. This was a test of his faith. It's recorded both in Genesis, but it's also recorded in the New Testament as an example of how he executed, how he took steps in his faith. It wasn't just something, it wasn't just classroom knowledge. God gave him some instructions, and he had an idea on God's character, and so he stepped forward. Well, God was the agent of that test. This is the classroom that I find myself in most of the time. That's the ourself classroom. We are probably we can be the source of most of our tests. Just by our individual makeups, every one of us in here, was created so much differently. We have different areas of strengths. As I look around, an area that I might not have a problem with at all, there are people in here that have a problem with it. And you're going to be tested on that. In areas that you have, strengths in, maybe that's my area that I've got a problem in. And I'm going to be tested on that. We've studied here about the, just our makeup, our character, how we have different trends. Maybe we have certain lust patterns. And, trying to recognize what yours is and find out. Maybe you will, maybe you're an individual who likes to take control. Maybe that's your propensity, is you always like to be in control. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But it can be a source of testing if you don't know how to set bounds. People have problems in the area of sexual lust. They can't handle certain situations that maybe someone else could. Okay? Strengths. Just as there's weaknesses, we all have our strengths, our trends. Trends towards legalism, trends towards, I know people in, we can kind of go two ways with our trends. We can maybe if we choose to get out of fellowship, okay, maybe we go all the way and we dabble with many sins, okay? Some people are like that, okay? Some people get out of fellowship and they're not in fellowship with God, but yet they're trying to execute God's plan for their life. With really, it's like they're not even following God's instructions. They're just kind of off doing it their way. They're not involved in all of the, what we consider, the real common sins. But yet what they're doing is taking them out of God's plan for their life. So my point being that we're all different, okay? And so the tests that we're going to find in our lives are going to be very different, just as we are from one another. Well, the next area that we're going to find that we're going to be tested from is the world. As we start to, figure out how we tick, where we have our problems, what gets us out of fellowship, what gets us, what keeps us in fellowship, where we find ourselves going, well, then we're going to have to deal with others around us. It's just as simple as that. Other people's strengths and weaknesses may conflict with yours. Maybe there's just this person over here, and every time they do this thing, it just drives you absolutely crazy. That's going to happen. Maybe it's going to be others at work, others at school. Wherever you find yourself, you're going to find that people can be a source of testing. And the last area that we see is Satan. Scripture does reveal clearly that Satan does test individuals. But it's interesting, and I haven't done a thorough study of this, but you know, the cases where, most of the cases that I've seen where Satan actually is involved in testing an individual, it appears that he has to go before the Father first and ask permission. Like if you read the account of Job, and you know, think about everything that happened to Job. I mean, here's a man that, you know, lost his family. He lost his house. He lost his business. I mean, he just about lost everything around him. He had a big family. He lost many children. He had a huge business. And these were all tests by Satan. And Satan was, you know, Satan was firmly believed that the only reason that Job was following God was because of all the blessing that he had in his life. And so God allowed Satan to test him just to prove him false. Peter, it's recorded in the Gospels that Satan asked permission to sift Peter. And, you know, Satan is, can be an agent that can deliver testing. How do we respond to these tests? I mean, these are just some simple guidelines, but testing by God. What should we do? Well, we should obey Him. I'll read this verse for you. This is 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel is saying to Saul, because Saul has done what he thought was what God wanted him to do, but it was what Saul thought that God wanted, and it really wasn't what God intended for him to do. But Samuel says to him, he goes, Saul, has the Lord as much to delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So the key here is that obedience is the solution to tests that we're going to have from God. And whether this is a direct test from God or it's a test that's allowed by God, the principle is the same. Obedience to the commands that have been revealed to us. Like in 1 Thessalonians, that whole list there, we're going to be tested on it. About tests from ourselves, you know. Certain places that, you know, what is it that gets me out of fellowship? Well, 1 Peter says to abstain from fleshly lusts. Find out what it is that gets you out of fellowship and abstain from that. Stay away from that. How do we overcome the tests of the world? Conquer its thinking. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The world is evil. Do not be overcome by the world, but overcome evil with good, divine good, that which we learn in the Scriptures. And how do we overcome tests by Satan? I think that I'd heard that there's a movie coming out this fall with Arnold Schwarzenegger apparently dueling with Satan. Resist him. That's what Scripture tells us. It doesn't say fight him. I mean, you know, as great as Arnold is, and you know, he really tore up that Predator. You know, and that was another movie of his. Scripture just says resist Satan. We do not have it within us to overcome his power. Okay? Alright, so we're going to have tests from all sorts of different, in all sorts of different areas, from all sorts of different sources. Are there retests? You bet. You bet. You know, and it's real important. You know, when we think about these tests that we're going to have in our life, that, you know, as we start thinking, all right, I'm ready for this test now. All right, come on, God, bring it on. Well, many times, you know, we may be going through tests that we've been failing for years and we're not even aware of it. You know, it's the concept of the log and the splinter. You know, there may be a log full of a test right in our face that we're just failing on a daily basis. And, you know, that's, we need to be careful that we look to that as well. Okay? Because sometimes it's easy when you hear the same commands and the same verses over and over again to kind of get lulled into a sense of complacency where we think that, all right, I'm doing okay here. But in reality, we could be failing this test every single day, and it could be the very thing that's keeping us from moving forward in God's plan for our life. So we have to be very sensitive as we look to our current circumstances and see that, you know, that we're just not failing tests every single day. And it's real easy to do. So you've got to be, it requires prayer, you know, ask God for the wisdom to see these things that are happening in our lives, you know. David prayed that, you know, Father, if there's any sin, if there's any iniquity in me, I mean, you know, let me know. Let me know what it is that I'm doing that's, you know, that's against thy will. So there'll be retests. You know, if you fail, well, you can take it again. All right, back to James chapter 1. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Okay? We're going to be tested. Verse number 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Well, faith is... Faith can have many different or several different interpretations in the scripture depending on how it's used. Faith could be the conviction at which we hold and we believe in something. You know, I really believe the Diamondbacks are going to go to the playoffs this year. Okay? I mean, that's conviction in, you know, their great pitching rotation and, you know, they're just having a great year. I mean, that's a faith. That's a conviction. But faith also, you know, even in that example, faith is, I have faith in the Diamondbacks because of how I know their team and how they're performing, and they've just got this great lineup and they've got great batters. And well, same thing applies to the Bible, okay? We have conviction in the scriptures and verses we believe and in what we read, but also we have this conviction because of the knowledge that we have in the scripture. Okay? We have these promises, we have instructions, we have commands, we have, you know, God reveals himself to us. And so we have conviction based in that, and that's what we're going to be tested on. That's the testing of our faith. It's the testing of not only our conviction in what we believe, but it's also the test of our knowledge. You know, do we have the knowledge on the subject? Okay, so we're going to be tested on the knowledge that we have. And the purpose of this is for endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. The Bible, or I was looking up in Webster's today, just what he has to say about endurance. He's, also, it's a good study tool to have when you're studying the Bible. It's a dictionary, just so that you can see what some of these words are. Because if you figure that the scholars who translated the Bible, they probably had a fairly good command of the English language, and so it really helps if you look at a dictionary and try and see exactly what that word means. Endurance, in this case, is the ability to last, to stand pain, to stand distress. So it has the idea of toil and pain. I recently went with some of my associates at work, and we went tuna fishing off of San Diego. It was a lot of fun. And I hooked into a tuna. You know, it was a 25-pound albacore tuna. And, you know, he hit that pole and he just took off. He's like sounded straight down for the bottom of the ocean. You know, I thought I had Moby Dick on there. I mean. But it took 25 minutes to bring that fish in. I mean, that's a long time. And, you know, my arm here, my forearm was just
it was swollen. It was so, I was like, and then he'd take off, you know, and the drag was set, and he'd continue to go. 25 minutes of just sitting here, you know, total fatigue. If I'd have let up, I wouldn't have brought the fish in. Okay? I was under much distress. Okay? And you know, that's nothing, because I talked to one of the deckhands, and earlier that year, he caught a 340-pound big-eye tuna that he brought in by himself. You know? It's just, you need endurance if you're going to go fishing for tuna. Okay? The tests that we're going to have are designed to produce endurance. Okay? I mean, be prepared as a Christian. You know, there is going to be pain. And sometimes the problems that we have within ourselves, that's the only way that God can get us to overcome them, is to put us through some sort of a huge hammer test that's just going to chip all the rough edges off. You know, sometimes that's what it takes. Heard the saying, no pain, no gain. Well, I mean, the principle applies in the Christian life as well. But understand, this is a process that is designed to change us from something that we were into something that's useful for God's work. We will have tests. Sometimes they will be painful. We must endure through the pain. Okay? And we can't give up. Every one of us in here, you know, are going through tests. And I know we all come here and we all sit down and, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing real good. But we're all going through tests. I mean, we can be guaranteed of that. We've got to endure through it. You know, whatever test that it is that you're going through, I just, you know, I encourage you, keep moving forward. Okay? We must not give up, because in due time, you will reap if you do not get weary. And that's a scripture that we can count on. The benefits are at the end. We must continue to push through. We must not grow weary. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So we see a process here. We see the testing. And the testing results in endurance. And then endurance has its own result. And that is that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Endurance is designed to perfect us, to complete us. And the word perfect here is from the Greek word teleos. And this word means finished, complete. But it's used in a lot of contexts where it's talking about humans in the growth from children to adults. Okay? You know, having been here for several years, 20 years, I mean, all of us who've been here have seen, you know, our peers have kids and their kids grow up. And I mean, you know, here in the auditorium, there's a dozen people who were, you know, just infants when I started here. They're to the point now where, you know, as far as in the physical sense, they're teleos. They've reached physical completion, adulthood. They're adults. Well, that's what's in this verse. It's talking about this testing is designed to bring us to adulthood. But it's not physical adulthood. And the other word used here holokleros. And this is an interesting word. Holos here means all. Okay? And kleros means part. And what this is this is a bringing together of all the parts. And, you know, I picture a puzzle when I see this. You know, you start out with a puzzle on the table, and there's 1,000 pieces spread all over the place. And it's a process that you go through to put the puzzle together. You know, you start out, it's in a box. You open the puzzle up, you spread them out. Then you start turning them all over, and then you start connecting them. And, you know, I always start with the outside edge because
I guess the most logical way to approach it, but and then you go to the inside, you start putting everything together. And piece by piece, the puzzle is getting put together. Until you finally get to a point where you put that last piece in, and the puzzle is complete. All the parts have been put together as a whole. And that's kind of like what this word's talking about with regard to us. Okay? Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, that you can reach spiritual adulthood, and that you can have all the pieces put together for your spiritual life. And the pieces that it's talking about here, I mean, what are the pieces that we need? It's the knowledge of the mind of Christ, which is what we have here in the Bible. These are the pieces that we need, because we really don't have the knowledge to live life wisely. Proverbs talks about wisdom. And the word wisdom in Proverbs really has the implication of skill in living. You know, a tradesman in plumbing, well, he's skilled in that particular trade. You know, he's real good with pipe and welding. And a carpenter is, you know, he's a master with regard to wood. Proverbs talks of wisdom as a person who is a journeyman in life. You know, he has the skills necessary to fulfill really the biggest trade that a person could ever endeavor, which would be how to live life wisely. And it's piece by piece, you know, acquiring this skill. And the design of testing is so that we would reach this point. So testing it's a good thing, because it takes us, well, I think of like in the military, you know, when I went into the Marines right out of high school, I didn't know diddly squat about military protocol, about, you know, anything that I would need to be a soldier. I didn't have the knowledge at all. And I went in there knowing nothing, you know, much like we come into the Christian life. We really don't know anything. And then, but the military has this incredible way. They know what it is that you need to be a soldier. And so systematically from day one, they start giving you the information. And you're tested on it daily and daily. And they keep repeating it over and over again until you get to the point at the end of boot camp, you know, where you've gained enough knowledge to be considered a soldier in the United States Marine Corps. And so you're prepared. You're complete. And that's what God's desire for us is. When we think of this process of sanctification, God's desire is that we would be set apart for His use, that we would be a good soldier in the Christian life. But there's a lot of training involved in that. And the result, if you look at verse 12, James 1, verse 12, I'll read it for you. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so that's the result of this entire process, is blessing. So that's why James can say in verse 2, consider it joy. This is a good thing. I'd like to close with six principles. Principle number one, testing is a normal thing in the life of a believer. Testing is a normal thing in the life of a believer. Principle number two, these tests are designed to produce spiritual toughness. You know, I think of Hebrews, where it talks about running the race that is set before us. I've heard Gene use the analogy of, you know, the Christian life and the race as being, this is not a sprint, okay? This is a marathon. And, you know, with a sprint, you just kick it out for 100 yards and you're done. But a marathon is 26 miles, you know? And the danger, you know, there's always a danger of pace. You know, they always say, well, be careful not to start too fast because, you know, you won't last the first mile and then you'll be giving up at the second mile. You know, the Christian life is a marathon. We always, just in that time that, you know, feel like you're out of breath, well, just continue to hang in there. Point number three, testing develops spiritual confidence, which spurs momentum. You know, it's interesting as we, you know, as we face different obstacles in life and problems that just seem so overwhelming, and you know, we trust in God to bring us through these problems. And when we're done, the problem doesn't seem near as big as when we began, and we feel, you know, we feel a lot more confident about handling something like this the next time. You know, so this will be a building process as we pass these tests. There's confidence that we will gain. Principle number four, these tests are designed for our growth. No tests, no growth. These tests are designed for our growth. No tests, no growth. And, I mean, God knows what it takes. He knows each of us, you know, so well. He knows what it takes, what we need to have work on in our lives. And he will, you know, when we move forward, he will work on us to help us move to a point where we can be useful for the purpose and the plan that he has for our lives. You know, I mean, there's nothing, you know, I mean, God wants us to be functioning in his plan. I mean, he desires that. You know, he wants us all to be functioning together, and he knows what each one of us need. And I guess the, you know, kind of a side point to this is, you know, if we are going to have tests, well, don't run from tests, okay? You know, try and face the tests. You know, as we know that something is, God's going to work us, help us to get through the tests that we face. You know, we have to trust in him. Point number five, it's God's intent that we become complete Christians, lacking nothing. God hasn't left a single thing out of the process that is involved in us, in each one of us, in this process of sanctification. Lacking absolutely nothing. He knows exactly what we need to move forward. And each test that he allows in our lives is tailor-made by God to help us overcome a specific thing, which he knows that we're capable of overcoming. He knows that we can make it through it, and he will help us through it. And finally, point number six, God wants to bless us, which is what we see in James 12. It is God's desire to bless each one of us. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who love him. I mean, the blessings are already set aside for each one of us. We need to move forward. God wants us to be blessed. He wants to pour these blessings upon us. Well, our time is gone. We close in prayer. Father, we're thankful once again for the opportunity to look into your word and just to consider how important tests play in each one of our lives. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given us and this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. They can just pick them up. There are the new directories are out. Excuse me. You can pick them up in the table.